Hi, hello, and welcome to Beyond Reproach. I'm Tux Lerzel.
I'm Stephanie Domingo.
And this is Beyond Reproach. This is the show where we read listener mail on specific topics related to American history, politics, or culture. This is our mini-sode.
Yes.
So today we're going to be reading listener mail based off of the topic of our last mini-sode, which is about self-care and stress management in the current political climate.
Yes. We got a lot of really great feedback from friends and listeners and some professionals.
Yes, we got professional help because
we got professional help, you guys. Don't worry about us anymore.
We needed it.
Finally.
But I think that was important because we're talking about essentially mental health.
Yes.
And we are not mental health professionals, no. Either of us. So
no, definitely not. So I'm going to read some feedback that I got from Twitter from our super listener, Annie from Ohio. Shout out to Ohio. So she wrote, regarding your anxiety and eating lollipops, there's nothing wrong with it. Thank you, Annie. Thank you for your support. However, she says, 100% cocoa is just gross.
True story.
I mean, I can't argue with that. I feel like I didn't know you were going to tell that story, but I'm glad you did because it should be a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like me, you guys.
The one thing that I forgot to mention when I told that story is that you didn't take one bite of it,
oh, realize God,
it was
how
disgusting,
dare you?
And throw it away. Okay.
I ate the whole thing, you guys.
Little by little, yeah, over a period of time.
It probably took me 8 months, but I ate it all because I bought it, and it was like penance. Like, this is what I'm doing because I got myself into this situation. And as bad as it tasted, and it was foul on every level, it's not poisonous. So here I am.
I would have taken one bite and thrown it in the bin.
She writes, I prefer dark chocolate over milk, and I won't even consider eating white chocolate because that, too, is gross. Anxiety has always been an issue for me. I've learned from a very young age, 4, but who's keeping track, not to trust anyone. I knew that nothing is permanent at 4. I knew that my living situation would change again, that siblings would come and go, that I shouldn't even bother to get attached. That being said, I sort of became antisocial and have anxiety when I have to deal with people. I work in retail, but that's not an issue. What is when you decide to knock on my door because you were, quote, just in the neighborhood.
No, go away.
I know. Ordering pizza is a chore for me in large family gatherings. It's getting better slowly, but I still hate talking on the phone, even if it's just my mother. So while talking, I clean. I mean, I really, really clean. I let them blabber on, and I just grab a wet rag and scrub my counters, making sure to get in all the crevices in my kitchen cabinets. I will dust lint from the top of my dryer, refold bath towels, clean out the toothbrush holder, polish silver, disinfect doorknobs. It's crazy the things I'll find to clean, but it sort of helps me keep calm while talking. I do it in person, too. I'm not a neat freak, but I'm also not a slob. After the conversation / human interaction ends, I'm surprised to find that my house is shining. I find it easy to connect with people online for some reason, as I don't feel as judged, I guess. I also tend to clean when I'm angry or upset. Not sure how this started, I just realized I do it about 5-ish years ago. I am also that kind of person who immediately goes to the dog, if there is one, when visiting the homes of others. I don't really understand it myself. I do know that the world we live in is only getting worse, so who knows if I'm actually getting better or if I'm just getting better at dealing with this bullshit, question mark. Pets and cleaning are apparently how I cope with my anxiety. Anyway.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. Even if you think that your own stuff is like weird or whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's important to be able to recognize it and find coping mechanisms that work for you.
Yeah.
You know, I clean when I'm angry. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I do this, a similar thing, but not around social anxiety or like conversations, but it helps me when I'm pissed off to like have a purpose.
Yeah. And you're turning something shitty into something better. Yeah. I think like cleaning is super cathartic. I love doing the dishes, as you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I must make it clean. I kind of want to try this when I'm on the phone because I have anxiety when talking to family on the phone. So maybe
I always
just start.
Pace.
Oh.
When I'm on the phone, I'm always walking around. The dogs are like following me. Like, what are you doing?
Okay. I'm going to try it.
I'm also the person that goes to the dog at parties. I mean, I just love dogs.
Yeah.
But especially if it's parties with a bunch of strangers and like one person that I know, I'm like, the dog doesn't care that he's never met me.
Yeah, no, not at all. Just like, give me attention and I love you forever. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you, Annie. I'm going to be reading an email from actually my like best friend from high school, Sonia. She says, hey, Tux and Stephanie, I felt that I have a decent amount to say about your last minisode topic, staying sane in an insane world, so let's delve right in. I was born and raised in the Finger Lakes region of New York State, a small conservative town with a maximum security prison and a large crow population.
Crow?
There's so many. There was like a National Geographic episode about Auburn. And
about all the murders?
yeah. Multiple murders of crows. When I was 25, I decided to move out west to Portland, Oregon. Portland is a very progressive and always evolving city. I am a very progressive and liberal woman. I kind of lived in a liberal bubble for the entire time I was in Portland, but about 6 months ago, I moved back to that small conservative town that I left 9 years ago. This city has not changed much, and I definitely have, so it's been a learning experience to say the least. I have always been proud to share my thoughts when I hear any kind of bigotry or other people discussing their privileged thoughts on folks that aren't there to stand up for themselves. So here's a story for you. I was at the end of a workday and I tried to tune out a white, straight, cis male coworker talking about how Boy Scouts are, quote, a bunch of pansies these days. That was frustrating me already, to say the least, mostly because of the tone of the conversation. But then he launched into full-on attack on transgender people for absolutely no reason. I'll leave out the language because it was awful and honestly can't remember exactly what he said, but I wanted to scream, but found composure and said, "You are being offensive." This man found that triggering and launched into another horrible attack on trans people and told me that I was part of the problem if that was how I felt. He didn't give me even 1 second to respond, and as he was scurrying out the door, I told him to fuck off. You can probably assume that I was left feeling bad about that interaction, but I'm damn proud to have ruffled the feathers of an irrational bigot, and I plan to keep speaking my mind when I have the moment. I don't know exactly when I realized how important self-care is, but I definitely know it now. First on my list is reaching out to sane, like-minded individuals to share my thoughts. I also have a small list of other things I like to do. Listening to Mariah, Whitney, Stevie Nicks, Toni Braxton.
Yes. Yeah. All of them.
Pretty much any strong woman who's been through hell and is almost definitely a witch.
Aww. Witches of the world unite.
Yes. Eating candy, exercising, redecorating, drawing, calling into work, and dancing.
Calling into work, yes! Oh, I love that. Personally, there are days when I wake up and I'm like, am I sick? Because I feel sick of working.
I think I'm sick. And then she signs it scandalously yours.
Oh, Sonia. Amazing.
Yeah, I think being able to stand up for, well, not just yourselves, but stand up for others. But standing up for yourself is really important.
Yeah.
If you are in a situation with a coworker or anyone, a friend or someone like a friend of a friend, say what's on your mind. If somebody's being like right in their mouth and...
As long as it's safe to do so.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, don't get stabbed for the cause.
Yeah, don't do this with strangers in places.
Especially with like cis straight men. Yeah. Like... They can be violent, as we all know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But thank you, Sonia.
Yeah, thank you. Great message. I like that she mentioned candy as well.
Yes.
Solidarity. I have an email from my friend Can, who's he's in grad school right now. He's finishing up. So he wrote, "How do you take care of yourself in this chaotic world? This is a question that could be answered in an essay. As someone training to be a clinical social worker / psychotherapist, I'm learning and practicing this right now in order to prevent burnout. I find the work a calling and a career, not simply a job, so I want to do this as long as possible to sustain myself. It is difficult and challenging. Some months are easier than others. Self-care is contextual and different for everyone, based on context and time, place and culture. What may work for one may not work for another due to a variety of privileges such as finances and time. To me right now, self-care is about following the tenets. 1, community care, taking care and connecting to others, family, friends, support systems. 2, mind, body, spirit, nutrition, sleep, exercise, nature, health, wellness. 3, trauma and healing, living in a traumatized society that is rampant with traumatic folks, with my own past traumas and doing my own work towards healing. 4, honesty and authenticity. My work is both professional and personal and always interconnected. And 5, communicating boundaries, asserting my needs and wants and limits. But to truly take care of ourselves and each other, the society in which we live and the systems which operates need to change. Access to healthcare, education, housing, employment, vary based on one's social location, identities, and should be a basic human right rather than a luxury. It means a critical shift in these systems and working towards dismantling white supremacy, settler colonialism, heterosexism, cissexism, because violence, exploitation, and cultural imperialism exist and persist, he writes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, right? Really, really thoughtful stuff. And it's true. Everything is personal and interconnected. And I like that he gave us like the micro and the macro.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for the message.
Thank you.
And we have a voicemail.
Hey, Stephanie and Tux. This is Kim Berry, licensed professional counselor, calling in to talk about two of my favorite topics, stress management and self-care. I've presented at conferences and to colleagues regarding stress management, and as a therapist, I've noticed a large uptick in anxiety with many clients in relation to current political issues. So thank you for covering these important topics on your podcast. In order to manage stress, whether generally under the current administration or if it's Thanksgiving dinner with MAGA hat wearing family members, a personalized and diverse self-care plan is helpful. But first, how do we as humans identify stressors? When we encounter something, whether it's something real like fire or perceived such as information, we quickly and unconsciously assess if we have the resources to manage the situation. If the answer is yes, then it's identified as positive stress or eustress. If the answer is nope, then it's evaluated as negative stress or distress. When we're distressed by comments, rulings, legislature, by the government, we assess that we don't have the resources to manage the situation. This is what we would call a perceived danger, as opposed to a real danger like a bear chasing you. I think there's value in understanding how our bodies and mind interpret stressors because this will allow us to better create strategies to manage it. A technique to manage stress is the four A's: adapt, alter, avoid, accept. This is how we can individualize stress management and how aspects of our political climate impacts our emotions. First, identify when and what upsets you. Is it the people around you? The constant stream of information? Election results? Let's pretend your stressor is lobbyists against climate change. What can you do about that? In many ways, this is both a real and perceived danger. Let's try the four A's method. Adapt. Try thought stopping. Addressing our climate is an important issue, and research shows we can make changes to help reverse the damage done. However, if all we do is ruminate on the negative environmental issues, it doesn't actually change the weather, but it impacts our mood negatively, which could actually lead to burnout and a reduction in positive actions. It's okay to think about the issues that are important to you, but make note of thinking versus rumination, and value action over thought. Alter. Attempt to change the situation. Vote at the polls. Call your representatives. Vote with your dollars. Support organizations that are in line with your values. And recycle and compost. Avoid. Avoid stressors and reap the benefit of a lighter load. Take a break from the news or reduce time that you are reading, watching, listening. If you're not interested in reducing the time addressing climate change or the associated lobbyists, then what can you say no to? Turning down other responsibilities, within reason, please pay your bills, might offer more bandwidth to address what really matters to you. Accept. Sometimes we have to accept things the way they are, not passively per se, but railing against the internal emotional comfort. Acknowledge that there are problems and use positive self-talk to move through the stress and reduce a mental avalanche. And now on to self-care. Personally, I practice an aggressive self-care plan and put measures into place to stick to it and frequently reevaluate to see if it still works for me. Recently, self-care has been touted as all bubble baths and chocolate bars, but in reality, a more robust and consistent action will have a greater impact. The lame therapist joke I like to make in sessions is that going to the dentist is self-care because it's important that my teeth don't fall out of my head. It's definitely less glamorous than retail therapy, but I still think it's worth it. I tend to lump self-care into two categories, proactive and reactive. Proactive self-care is the constant efforts put forth to help you as an individual maintain emotional regulation. For example, good sleep hygiene, proper diet, hydration, physical activities, which 30 minutes of increased heart rate offers endorphins up to 24 hours. And then my personal favorite, leisure. Reactive self-care might include methods of self-soothing or distraction when you're upset. While the proactive portion of self-care addresses our basic human needs, the reactive self-care is a more tailored approach to who we are as an individual. For example, yoga, Cardi B, and my favorite murder podcast are three ways that really help me, personally, regulate when I'm upset. And also, all three of those drive my husband crazy. He prefers more sports-related activities. You have to find out what works for you and be honest about what might not be working for you. Sure, it's fun to binge-watch Instant Hotel, but is that really sustainable for regular decompression from stressors? Take into consideration the amount of screen time you use, especially before bedtime, because the blue light impacts melatonin production, and how that may or may not improve your mood. I enjoyed adult beverages, but we should also evaluate the quantity of alcohol and how it can impact emotions beyond the immediate present. For example, will you be more anxious or depressed tomorrow? Or worse, hungover? Stress eating is also something to reflect on. I'm by no means anti-snack food, but it is important to recognize that our bodies lean towards quote-unquote high-energy food, i.e. high-calorie and high-fat foods, and it has an increased appetite when we're stressed due to the release of the hormone cortisol. You can thank your adrenal glands for that one. It's all about moderation. Before I conclude, I'd like to go through what I refer to as a self-care bonus round, a few tips and tricks that might help get you through some emotional discomfort. 1. Petting animals helps reduce anxiety. So if you have access to a furry friend, cuddle up. 2. Getting a hug or having sex releases oxytocin, which can help reduce stress. 3. Reaching out to someone who you feel safe and comfortable with can help you sort out your emotions, can help distract or release tension. 4. Being in nature reduces anger, fear, and stress, and increases pleasant feelings. 5. A good cry goes a long way.
Sure does.
6. Talk to a professional about some supplements. Kava, CBD, homeopathics, and vitamins can all help regulate mood changes associated with stress. And last but not least, my personal favorite, schedule an appointment with a therapist. Get your butt on the couch. Talk it out. These are but a few options to help address stress and attend to yourself. Thanks again, Stephanie and Tux, for disclosing parts of your own self-care plans and hopefully inspiring your audience to reflect more on their mind and body.
That was great.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, thanks, Kim.
That Amazing. Was so good.
Yeah, so, good. So thorough.
I do feel slightly personally attacked about the comments on drinking, but we don't drink the way we drink on this show every day.
We would not be gainfully employed if we did.
or maybe even alive.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah.
She's a professional, so she had to mention that, or she wouldn't be doing her job properly. Yeah. So thanks, Kim.
Yeah, don't drink like us.
Don't eat chocolate like us. Oh, yeah. Don't drink
like us. I am the king of stress eating, too, but yeah. Well, we won't get into that.
It's better than heroin.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's how I defend everything. That's really true. Well, I guess what this brings this mini to an end. That's the feedback that we got. Thank you all for writing in and leaving messages.
You guys, we really appreciate all the feedback we've been getting, and especially the recorded voicemails, because yes. Those are so much fun to hear. It adds so much more when it's not just us reading somebody's story off of a page, but actually hearing it in their own words and their own voice.
Yes.
Should we cheers?
Yes, let's cheers. Clink.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux.
And Stephanie.
Don't forget to please rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important, as we continue to say.
Please do it. Do the right thing, you guys.
Yeah. If you like us, share with the class. Please tell a friend. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Beyond Reproach Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Until next time.